but it's my own eyes. Still a clear, light blue, that are the first to reveal the truth. If you look closely enough, you might have to reconsider everything you know about me, everything you thought you knew, about the first female Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America, the Honorable Justice Sylvia Olin Bernstein. The first time I sat in that chair, I felt an unnecessary distance from a breathing life, as if I were meant to be protected by an older code. Outside, people waved signs of praise, of hate, of hope that the contemptuous SOB might make a change. I hated the name. Just call me a bitch, I wanted to say. I'm nobody's son. You see, everyone thinks that I broke the rules, but I didn't. Not really. I just oiled them up a bit for everyone else. But biographers want to present me like that. Pretty, but rough. Demanding, but kind. A model for how to get to the top as a woman and be remembered in history with elegance and idealism. This is the true story, though. I wouldn't be here if I'd had the luck of my cousin Mariana, or if I'd fought the fight like my friend Linda. Still, history chooses whom to crown an iconoclast, whether they deserve it or not. History is only as good as the historians, and I'm no longer trusting them to tell my story. Part 1. Brooklyn, 1949. Chapter 1. I was 12 years old when one half of my father's twin cousins came to live with us. It was nearly 4 full years after the end of the war, and it took nearly all that time for her to emigrate from Germany to the United States. Over 1,000 days. 200 longer than she and her family had been in the camps. After the liberation, she moved to Munich and lived there among a small handful of survivors until America welcomed her to its shores. She settled in Brooklyn with us. The rest of my father's family lived in internment camps, awaiting passage to somewhere that wasn't continental Europe, somewhere like Great Britain or Australia, Canada, or Israel, maybe even Argentina. We were simply the first to come through for Mariana. Had London called a month earlier, my life might have turned out very differently. Would I have found the law? I might have become a secretary to a businessman, a wife and mother, maybe a teacher. It's hard to imagine. It was spring of 1949 when my father brought Mariana home, trailing behind him in the doorway like a stray dog. We lived in a tiny two-bedroom apartment off King's Highway in the old Midwood section of Brooklyn. Together, as a team, my parents owned the deli downstairs, drawing a few looks from the religious communities. Marty, a man raised in a black hat and tzitzit, with his wife, Susan Henriksen, come Olin, whose thick blonde strands baffled the kosher crowds, but didn't stop them from coming to eat. Though my mother was born Christian and spent the first 22 years of her life in church, she met my father while waiting in line for a newspaper and coffee in Prospect Park. A week later, she shunned pork and crucifixes and began wearing a high pendant around her neck. What she bequeathed to me, in addition to her hair color, eye color, and height, was her quiet providence. Something that nobody in Midwood quite understood. After all, everyone around her, the black hats and shadel-wearing chassids, the tallest touting academics, the soon-to-be-awakening feminists, had one thing in common. They knew that she didn't need to fight to live. Her life was not centered around survival. Survival, on the other hand, was something that trickled down to me from my father's side the day my cousin Mariana arrived.